Don't pass by this episode without listening. I guarantee you, you do not want to stay in the dark any longer. I'm going to share two things that I didn't learn until I was in my 40s. Super essential if you want to have effective boundaries. Don't even try to set a boundary until you listen to this episode. Hey, you're listening to I Meant to Do That, the podcast that invites you to live and lead authentically. I'm your host, Carrie. I'm married, a mom to four, a proud Nana to two, and a recovering people pleaser with just a dash of ADHD. I'm also a certified professional coach and a behavior specialist. Have you ever found yourself in that exhausting loop of overdoing and overbeing, striving for that unobtainable perfection, trying to be everything to everyone, wondering how you got there? Trust me, you're not alone, and I've been there too. Together, we're going to unpack some topics and strategies that empower us to break free from that pressure, be unapologetically ourselves, and focus on what truly matters most. So if you're ready to dive in, let's do it. Let's explore living authentically with God and others and with ourselves, one conversation at a time. Hey guys, hope you are doing absolutely fantastic this week. Thank you for joining me for another episode and listening in to I Meant to Do That. Today's episode is very honest. I am sharing with you guys two things that really tripped me up when trying to set boundaries, the kind of boundaries that would help me reach my goals, help me to have the life that I was trying to build, help me define what is my business and what is other people's business. Those kind of good boundaries. I know you already know a lot about boundaries, and there's so many resources out there. If you want like a good, solid boundaries education, you can go to Henry Cloud and his resources. So I'm not trying to duplicate that or redo that or steal from all of the good stuff that's already out there. What I want to do today is make you aware of two things that you must do in order to set the boundaries that you need and also have them be effective, which means they do what they're supposed to do and they don't crumble. And I cannot wait to share these two things with you. Now, in the process, I got a little bit excited. My brain was firing all over the place. I shared a lot of things. I threw some stories in so that it comes to life. And we know, hey, this is real life stuff. Everybody has to deal with some of these life issues that require boundaries. And it got a little longer than I had planned. So if you want to listen to the whole thing in one big chunk, or you can always break it up, come back to it, but please listen to the whole thing. Because if you only listen to maybe like the first 20 minutes, those 20 minutes aren't going to be as useful for you or as powerful if you don't listen to the whole episode. If you're like me, this is a time of year where you're really thinking about the changes that you want to make, the things you want better, what you want more of, and what you want less of. And so we start getting these brains filled with plans and ideas. But if you're like me too, my busy brain can't do everything that it wants to do. There are things that I, even if I want to get them into motion, it just doesn't seem to come to fruition. This reminds me of a quote, and I'm going to sound very smart for a minute, but don't worry. I'm also going to be talking about a TV show I watch that will bring everything into balance because it's, anyway, you'll find out. Just keep listening. But this quote is by Confucius. I'm not going to say it perfectly, but here's the gist of what he said. All people are the same. It's only their habits that make them different. Now, Confucius is always simplifying things to the point where he makes it too simple, but yet it still makes a valid point. Those habits are so important, but habits are just one component, one piece. Now, we were talking about boundaries in the last episode. They're the lines that we create that define what we are and what we're not. They help us clarify what is acceptable or not acceptable for us. When they're in place and we can stick with them, they honor what's important and valuable in our lives, and we can refrain from taking responsibility for the things that aren't ours to begin with. We really need boundaries around lots of things like our time, pressure on us for time. We need boundaries around our energy because the demands of life right now, they're very much exceeding our capacity. Okay, if we were in an auditorium right now and someone at the front said, raise your hand if you struggle with self-awareness, nobody is going to raise their hand because what we think about with self-awareness is someone who doesn't really notice that they've been talking for the past 20 minutes without letting anyone get in a word. Or it's the person with those table manners that they're eating their food quickly while they're talking at the same time. And they also don't have the external self-awareness to notice your face. You are staring and you're trying to, with your eyes, say, please stop. But they keep doing it. They're lacking both awarenesses there. Okay, I just revealed one of my pet peeves. Nobody wants to admit that they struggle with self-awareness, but the facts are in. There's been quite a few studies that have been conducted recently, all the way back 20, 30 years, to show that we aren't so great at self-awareness, people. We really aren't. I know it might feel like I'm going down a rabbit trail, but I'm not, so stay with me for a minute. Self-awareness is basically knowing what you're feeling, then taking that information and applying it appropriately to your thinking, your actions, your responses, your decision-making. That's part of that inner self-awareness. Also, next level up from that, or expanding upon that, is also knowing, what are your strengths? What are your values? What are the things that are most important to you? What are your attributes? If you don't have self-awareness, it's going to impact your ability to set boundaries. It's going to impact your ability to hold them fast, even to know how to go about creating them, how to communicate them. Self-awareness is key. The other part of self-awareness is more the external, where you're able to determine how people are responding to you. How are your words and your behaviors impacting others, and how are they perceiving you? So it's fascinating stuff. I absolutely love learning about it. One reason is because I've seen the payoff in my own life as I learn more about it, because you can grow these areas. Self-awareness is part of emotional intelligence, and we can only maybe grow our mental intelligence to so far. I'm never going to be Einstein. We can also grow our physical abilities only to so much. We have genetics that prohibit me from being able to throw a ball really far like my son can. But emotional intelligence, you can keep growing and learning. You can level up to your heart's content. It's pretty awesome. And you will see the payoff. If you just grow in your self-awareness, like 5 degrees, you're going to see a significant difference. Here's the thing. It's not hard to develop self-awareness. The problem is we don't do it. And if we're not developing our self-awareness, we're struggling with setting boundaries, no doubt. So as I'm talking about these two things that are getting in the way from us creating our boundaries or maintaining them, the overarching theme here is to practice self-awareness so that you can notice these two areas. You can do something about it. You got to have the self-awareness. So real quick, if you want to get more self-aware, first of all, recognize self-awareness isn't being selfish or self-centered. Sometimes we think about someone who is super self-aware, that they're super consumed with their self, and maybe to the point of getting a bit narcissistic. But obviously that's not self-awareness, because someone has a convoluted or inflated view of themselves and their importance in the world in comparison with other people. That's not what we're talking about. With self-awareness, it's more being able to stop and being able to be in the present and think, right now, what am I feeling? You'd be surprised how many of us can't do that. After you know what you're feeling, then you can ask yourself some other questions that can help you determine what would be a good decision to make and how to grow yourself in self-awareness so it becomes more natural. And it will happen. It can happen. But this episode isn't really about teaching you self-awareness, but I wanted to make note of that because however you do with these next two things, you'll notice if you can or can't do it based on how much time you give yourself for self-awareness. So the first thing that gets in the way for me and for so many people that I know is when you're setting boundaries, you're uncomfortable because there's risk. You're taking a risk. Risk is hard. It means that we're stepping into the unknown and we're doing something, we're making a change. Maybe we're communicating something to someone and we don't have any control over many of the parameters and what's going to happen. It doesn't feel safe, especially at first. Here's a real world example and a hard one. There's a mom and her adult son is not going to classes. He signed up for college. He lives at home. He's not been going to classes. So his mom has made it easy for him, packed him his bag, packed the lunch for him, gave him money in case he didn't want to eat the bagged lunch, and gets the car all ready and says, all right, just come on out. I'll take you. All I have to do is grab your stuff, get in the car, and I'll drive you to class. He's like, okay, fine. I'll go to class. So this has been their system. Well, mom has her eyes have been opened, light bulbs popping everywhere. She recognizes this is not okay. It's not sustainable. Plus, I'm giving up a lot of my life that's supposed to be mine when my son is 20. And I'm not doing those things because I'm pretty much trying to make all of his decisions for him and run his life for him and make him successful. It's not working. And so she creates some boundaries. She tells her son, heads up, I'm going to finish out the week doing it how we've been doing it. But next week, you have to get yourself out the door and drive yourself to class. And it's on you. And make your lunch, all of that. Or buy your lunch, I don't care. But that's what you have to do. And so here's the risk part. What is her son going to do? What's going to happen? It's very risky. And what might cause her to crumble is realizing maybe he's not going to go to school now. Maybe he's going to take the car and just go hang out somewhere and do nothing. Or what is it going to be like at home? Especially when she hears her son say back, okay, fine. If that's what you're going to do, then, and I have to do all that, don't expect me to do anything around the house. I've been mowing the lawn. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not going to do anything for you because you're not willing to do anything for me. Now that's quite unfair, but it's also real life example. Things like this happen all the time in the world. And so the problem is when we cannot handle the risk. And so we may not even create the boundaries, or we make little spots in the boundary. I call them the escape hatch. We have the escape hatch. It's kind of pre-planned, and we know that we're going to use it if it gets too risky. And so in this scenario, the escape hatch might be, you know what? How about if you drive yourself twice a week? Or how about if I still get you your bag and your food and everything all set up, but you just drive yourself so that I can go look for a part-time job for myself? We end up kind of just going right back to it, which feels horrible. We are feeling like we're weak. We don't have the courage to do it. We question our own maturity in life that we can't do the thing that we want to do. And that's what I meant earlier when I said you end up back in a place that feels worse than where you were before. We can't set boundaries if we aren't comfortable with some risk. So some people are comfortable with risk and some people aren't. A lot of it has to do with our personality traits and attributes. Some of it has to do with a lot of our experiences growing up and, you know, a whole hodgepodge of things. So here's where the self-awareness comes in. How do you handle risk? What kind of risk-taking do you feel comfortable with? When we're setting boundaries with relationships and things with other people, that might be an area that you don't feel like you can take risk. That's a hard one for you. Determine for yourself, take a look at yourself and try to understand more about who you are when it comes to taking risks. It could be that you can take risks, but you need certain things. And those would be your resources. So if you have these resources, then it's a little easier for you. If you know that, you can make sure you have those resources. Going back to the example of that very generous and kind and a little bit soft mom who loves her son and wants to see him succeed. And you know, you can change this scenario. It can be something between roommates going on. It could be an adult with their adult or with their adult parent, an adult with their elderly senior parent who that can be tricky too, where sometimes the needs of the adult parent are getting enmeshed with the needs of the adult child. But whatever the scenario is, there might be resources that if you have them, it's easier for you to step into that risk and hold what it is that you're wanting to do. It could be that you need collaboration. Some people do not like to make decisions solo. Some people love it. They're like, I like to take command. I like to make my decisions by using my own intuition or going on my own experiences or doing some research. Some people feel so much better with collaboration. Neither is right or wrong. I had a conversation with someone once and she was saying that she was disappointed in herself because she felt like she was always looking for other people's thoughts on her major decisions. And she thought, if I was really mature and really adulty, I would be able to make this decision without conversing with others. And that's not necessarily true. It might not mean that you don't trust yourself, but it could mean that you don't trust yourself, which brings us into the next part. We might need resources that help us feel comfortable with taking risk, but we also want to know, what are the things about me that are weak? What are my weak areas? Maybe one of your weak areas is you don't trust your intuition. Whatever you can do to address that is going to help you feel much more confident and comfortable in taking a risk when you're setting that boundary. I'm going to tell you about the second area that inhibits us from either creating the boundaries or sustaining them in just a minute. But now I'm going to tell you about the TV show that I have been watching for 18 years. And I know I sounded like Miss Smarty Pants when I quoted Confucius just off the top of my head. Sounded so smart. But yeah, let's bring it all into balance here, because for the last 18 years, I've been watching this show called Sister Wives. Okay, it's a show about a polygamist family in Utah. It follows their family and their life. I started watching it 18 years ago because I've been studying different religions and cults. My undergrad is in sociology. It's completely a fascination of mine. And I started watching it 18 years ago. And for whatever reason, I decided to see it through, see this family through, and continue watching. There were some seasons that I skipped a few episodes just because they were boring and nothing really happened, whatever. But the last three episodes, I've been a little bit glued to each episode because things are happening. There's been an awakening in a couple of the sister wives, and they have seen the light that the thing that they believed was true, the way that they have believed that they need to live in order to attain a way of righteousness for them. They started to see maybe it's not true. They are working through their cognitive dissonance in new ways. And I find it so fascinating. And I'm cheering these women on. I'm just cheering them on. You guys, I can't believe I'm talking about Sister Wives. If I would have thought 5 years ago, I would be sitting in my office in front of a microphone talking about Sister Wives, I would have said, yeah, that's never going to happen, Carrie. It's never going to happen. I'm taking a risk right now. I'm being bold. But the whole reason I'm bringing it up is that a couple of the women have decided to set some boundaries and actually venture out and take steps toward a new life, which required a lot of boundary setting, self-awareness. You see it happening right on the screen as they work through all that's going on in that self-discovery that this is not what they believe anymore, nor is it the way that they want to live anymore. It required them taking risk because a lot of things happened. I don't know if I could say, everybody go and watch all 18 seasons of Sister Wives so you can see over a span of 18 years, the process of someone finally having self-awareness and then setting boundaries that require them to be okay with risk, because that's kind of a long commitment. And I don't know. I think it's funny that I'm talking about it. But if you're a growth-minded person, we will be creating new boundaries that are going to require risk. It's going to happen through our entire life or not, right? Or not. We have the freedom to choose. We have libertarian free will. Our lives aren't dictated by fate or by a micromanager in the sky. We all have that choice. But I see it as setting boundaries with courage is like sailing. I think sailboats are beautiful. I've had two experiences on sailboats. Both of them were absolutely horrible because the person who was guiding the sailboat did not know what they were doing. They're just trying it, and it was terrifying. But I don't know how to sail. But whenever we're on the water, they draw my eyes. I take photos of them. I ooh and I ah. We stop everything. Look, there's a sailboat. We live near the intercoastal waterway. And when we're out boating, if the sails are up on a sailboat, the sailboats are given the right of way. They're afforded all of the rights and the privileges, and the other boats are supposed to maneuver around them. So all of the rules cease to exist. Sailboats get to do whatever they want when the sails are up. They just get that respect. When the sails are down and they're using their engine, then they're the same as all the other boats, and they follow the lines of how you're supposed to drive in the intercoastal. But sailboats have respect. They convey to me this sense of wild adventure. I don't know why, but I always feel like they also convey intelligence and this sense of a free spirit. When you're setting your boundaries, when I'm setting my boundaries, I want to think of them as a sailboat and putting up the sails, giving my sailboat the respect that it deserves. Because I've thought them through, I'm setting boundaries that are aligned with my values, my purpose, what I want to allow, what I don't want to allow in my life. And yeah, it's going to take some courage. I guess the bottom line here is that when you set boundaries, be prepared to feel scared about it. And being scared about it doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. We can believe a lot of things about boundaries that prevent us from setting boundaries. And one of them is boundaries hurt other people, they harm other people, they inconvenience them. It's going to create some discomfort for other people. Women, we have, I guess, in a way, been conditioned that our job is to protect people from having discomfort, especially if you think about when it's in relationships with your adult son or with your aging parent. We don't want to rock the boat. We choose others and their comfort as if it's good for them. But on the outside, looking at that example, I think on the outside, we all would want to tell that mom, you're doing the right thing. Be strong. Stand firm. He is allowed to make his decisions and decide for himself how his life is going to go. Good things could happen, could be messy for a while, and it could even throw back a little bit on you since he lives with you. You might have to deal with some of the residual stuff. The other thing that gets in our way, I'm ready to share with you the second one that I have a lot of experience with. The second one is be prepared to feel a void. It's this space where we don't really know what to do with it because it used to be full. There used to be something there, and now there's nothing. Let me explain. My kids have been involved in, oh my goodness, so many activities over the years. Three are grown. I still have a 15-year-old at home, but so many things, whether it's tournaments, a sports season, a play production. If you think about it, we go through this as adults too. We are always seeing things end, like maybe a job ends. Maybe it's for good. Maybe it ended and you didn't choose for it to be ended. But either way, we have ends to things. Maybe there's an organization that you're volunteering in. You were serving as the chairperson in this organization and you loved it, but it was a lot of hard work. And then it ended. Well, everything that we're doing to some degree becomes a part, even if it's just a little bit, it becomes a part of our identity. I experienced this. This is so funny, but one time my daughter was in a play and they needed some adults. They had some roles that they didn't want to pay professional actors to do. And so they said, hey, parents, does anybody want to try out to fill these roles? And I sometimes am extremely spontaneous. And I was there just hearing the announcements by myself. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do it. So I rose my hand. I decided I'm just going to try out for a play. This is not something I've done before. And so I went to the auditions and I tried out. I had to sing a solo. I had to sing a song for them. And it was because it was the musical Annie. And I got the part. And there was three other dads that also got a part. I was the mom. All the other adults were professional actors. And there's an air about the professional actors. We're all in the dressing room and doing the rehearsals and things. It was quite a cool experience. It was really fun. And I had a lot of fun with the other dads. It was great. But when it was over, I got a taste of what my kids experienced when the plays ended for them or the epic hockey season ended and they had put so much blood, sweat, and tears and commitment into it. I felt a bit of the sting of that, like, ugh, the void. Now what? And I'm not going to be trying out for another play. This was a 1 in a million opportunity. I got the feel of that. And that's what happens when we set boundaries. There's going to be a void. And how do we feel in that void? Sometimes that void confuses us and we start wondering if we did the right thing and we maybe start to pedal back on some of the boundaries that we are setting. And here's a crazy thing. Sometimes we set up a boundary because we want to put an end to something that's been difficult or negative. We want to create a defining line there of what we aren't allowing anymore. And it could be things with work and tasks. It could be a relationship. But even when it's something that we are pushing away and saying, "Dad, that's not going to be part of my stuff anymore," and it's a negative, there's still a space that wasn't there before, and it can feel weird. It can feel like a mini identity crisis, even when the thing that's changing is you letting go of something that's been negative. So what I'm saying is be prepared to experience a void. If you're feeling a void, now you know, oh yeah, that happens with boundaries. I don't even know if books tell you about this or not. I don't know. I've just experienced it. And I know other people I've talked to have experienced it as well. My clients have. So I'm sharing this with you and I think it's going to help. If your boundaries create some space from, I don't know, maybe like a family member who's been invalidating you, now in that space, you've got some room to rethink who you are, get some self-awareness, maybe grow in your capacity to accept when someone says to you, hey, you know what? You're actually talented at that. Maybe your boundaries have been, you've set some boundaries to keep yourself from rescuing people, like staying really late at work, taking back the tasks that you delegated to someone to make sure that they get done. Maybe you found a way to create some boundaries there. Well, who are you when you aren't the overworker? Who are you when you're not that go-to person that everyone can count on that you're going to take on the stuff and you're going to get it done? You might have a mini identity crisis because for so long, your behaviors have been this way, and now that you set a boundary, things are a little bit different. Don't be surprised if you start to feel a void and you start to feel a mini identity crisis. It can feel weird in that gap of where we were and when the growth kind of kicks in and we move into what's next. So it's going to feel weird. It's going to feel uncomfortable. You're getting to know who you are when you weren't being influenced by that relationship or when you aren't fulfilling that role and having that be a part of who you are. You're getting to know who you are. It's going to feel different. Your day-to-day life is going to be different. Even when it's a healthy improvement, here's the crazy thing. It can still feel like you've lost something. So confusing because it feels like it doesn't make sense. And it's not going to stay that way. We just have to work through it. So we need to expect that, make sure that the discomfort doesn't create an easy pathway right back to what's familiar. So when you're making boundaries, you know it's going to take courage. It's going to take some boldness. You know that there's going to be a void. So you want to have a plan. And you should count on there being some pushback. Definitely you'll get pushback from people who are feeling like they really want the old way to continue. And you'll get pushback from people who don't have a lot of emotional intelligence, or maybe they're just difficult people. But even your good, kind, smart people are going to have some adjustments when you set up boundaries. And so it's okay. There's going to be some pushback to a little bit or to a lot. Just count on it. And just to bring it full circle, we will push back maybe when other people are creating boundaries that are good for them. We all have to adjust. Okay, well, here's a story that kind of explains why we need to have a plan. I'm going to give her the name Greta. It's a pretty name. So Greta had a relationship with her cousin, and this relationship was more like sisters. And Greta decided she was going to set some boundaries with this relationship because she knew it was just kind of getting off. And she never really felt good after their phone calls. She more felt exhausted. And she was always second guessing herself after talking to Greta. It was just different than when she talked with her other friends. She found that the conversations that when they got together over coffee were more one-sided and also discouraging. Her cousin talked about other people negatively. Whenever Greta shared something going on that was maybe an achievement or an area of success, her cousin would really diminish it, find a way to shift the conversation right back to a topic about her or her interests. It seemed almost intentional. Greta was getting this feeling, I'm starting to get resentment here, and so I know I need to make some boundaries. If you're ever feeling resentment, that's a good flag to pay attention to because it probably means that you're not setting effective boundaries. Well, Greta took a few days. She gave things some thought, and then she decided she knew the changes that she was going to make within herself that she didn't need to tell anybody about, but that she was going to have a conversation with her cousin. The next week, they got together, and Greta said that she didn't really want to talk negative about people anymore. And how about instead they talk about their kids, their summer plans, and kind of make an adjustment there. And her cousin snapped back a comment about how they really never talk bad about others except sometimes to vent. There's really nothing wrong with that. But sure, if you're in a weird phase, you know, that's fine. It doesn't really matter to me. But it did matter. Things did not go as hoped. Within 6 months, Greta noticed that her cousin was more set on pointing out Greta's flaws, and she was even negative towards her kids. Everything just had this tone almost of animosity, but it was under the table. You know, it was definitely more in a passive, aggressive mode. And Greta realized that she had to spend less time with her cousin. So she set this boundary of how she would be treated and how she would now respect herself and expect people to treat her. But it felt weird. She and her cousin had been meeting for coffee a couple times a month. They live about 3 hours apart from each other. They talked on the phone almost daily. They had their whole life history together. There are spouses, kids, extended family, all of this entwined. And it really felt weird. There was a loss, definitely, even though this was an opportunity for Greta to grow, to have more of a relationship that she wants, and to have less of that negativity coming at her. Without a plan, it would be so easy for Greta to slide right back into the way things were. Maybe make a couple adjustments, try to stay firm on how the conversations are going to go. Without a plan, we can see where things could easily go because cousin, she's got a strong personality. She's not bending. She doesn't want what Greta wants. So setting effective boundaries includes some planning for what we're going to do when we feel guilty, lonely, confused, like, what do we do with this extra time? Panicked, like, what if I'm wrong? What if things are going to be worse now? What's going to happen when we get together as a family? We need to have a plan because those feelings are going to come. There's going to be the void. There's going to be all of that happening. So we need to know when we set a boundary how we're going to make this easier for us. Make it as easy for yourself as possible. Easy as possible so you can stay consistent, trust ourselves, give ourselves a little extra kindness because growth really is a pain. Do you remember, I don't know if they use this phrase anymore, but there was that phrase, growing pains. Growth can be a pain for a while, but then the pain one day is gone. So hey, if you have been feeling like boundaries are hard right now, maybe you had it down in the past, you succeeded at getting where you are today. Of course you did, because you're here, but now you're in a new place. You're in a new scenario. Things are different, and you're coming up to some challenges with it. Don't feel like you're failing or like something is wrong with you, but we're constantly going to have new things being thrown at us. So that's why the self-awareness piece is really important. Giving yourself, quote, permission to stop and slow down and think about things. In this episode, we talked about those two things. One, the problem with risk-taking, how hard that can be for us. And the second is what to do with that void. Do you feel like either one of those have been a sticky point for you? Both have been for me. Now, this is just two things that we have to deal with as we're going through life, moving forward, growing, and trying to get unstuck. There's going to be more things. And we don't have to be at a level 10. We're not going to be at a level 10. There's a new quest ahead of us, but the things that we already learned, the stuff that you learned 3 years ago from that one episode, you're bringing that into today. Your self-awareness is going to help you see the things that you have learned along the way, those milestones, because you have strength that you didn't have before. You have experience that you didn't have before. All of that you can take and apply that to the new thing ahead as you go forward. My daughter asked me, Mom, what are some of the things that you wish that you would have known when you were 21? That's a big question, and I would need to probably have a few hours or days to be able to go through that with her. But one thing is I would have wanted to know is I can set boundaries. You know, not can as in I have the ability, but I have the right to set boundaries. I didn't know that. I think it starts there of making sure that you and I know that we have the right to set it. That sounds so forceful, doesn't it? If you're someone who's more of a people pleaser, more empathetic, you don't even like that word saying, I have the right. It sounds so demanding. Let's soften it. You are the gardener and you've been entrusted with all of the things that God has given you to steward, to cultivate, and to grow. Boundaries are good, and it doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to do it 100% success. Who does 100% success anyway, especially with something like boundaries? I hope that in this episode, you have some things to take with you and you can create your plan to be as kind to yourself as possible, to make it as easy as possible. There's nothing wrong with asking for help. We all need help. Now, saying that, I want to remind you that I'm a coach. Part of what I do is help people through this process. I give them a place that they can be heard, they can talk things out, they can find their answers and create a plan. If that interests you, you can reach me through my website. There's also a connection to me in the show notes, but go to carriegoodman.com. Pretty easy, that's my name. And you can find me there. I'd be happy to have a conversation with you. All right, guys, that's a wrap. I don't have anything else for you. Peace out. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time. Thank you so much for listening. The best way that you can support this podcast is by hitting subscribe or like wherever you're listening to your podcast. Leave a rating and a review, and also send these out to your friends. You'll find links to all of the resources mentioned today in the show notes. Visit carriegoodman.com. On my website, I offer free resources as well as opportunities for group coaching, workshops, and soon to be courses. So check that out. Remember, it's for freedom that Christ set you free. Be yourself. Enjoy today. This world needs you. Till next time.